To start out the message, I want to read a little bit the one phrase in the Sunday school lesson. The conflict between God and Satan rages in the spirit world and upon earth. The conflict. Do you have trials in life? Do you ever have a place and time in your life where you wonder how you can go on? The mountain seems so big. I think we can all say that we have. We've reached that point in life where, but for the strength of God, we would probably give up. I've been there already. But we know what the consequences is for turning back and for giving up our spiritual life. The title of my message this morning is Faith in Trials. Faith in Trials. I did not look at the Sunday school lesson in depth, and I didn't think about how much they overlap each other, but I think it, maybe we just set the stage for a message like this. I don't know, but I feel like it's the message God has called me to share. Turn with me in your Bibles to Job chapter 1. We talked in the Sunday school lesson about the spirit world. It was mentioned already that we can see the conflict in the spirit world in the account of Job, and we're going to look at that just a little bit, and how Job responded to trials in his life as they came to him. I think it's good for us to read, and just to put us into touch with this conflict that was going on in the spirit world, as we think of us today having trials in life and needing to come through victorious. Job chapter 1, start reading at verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, and upon thine self is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. So Satan went forth, and they stripped him of everything he had in this world. Verse 22, when Satan had made that accusation against Job and said that if you reach out and touch what he has and take it from him, he'll curse you to the face. In verse 22, after it was all done and he was stripped of everything, he said this, In all this Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. Satan didn't know. He thought he had Job. He thought that would cause Job to turn. But it didn't. Let's go on down to chapter 2. Was Satan okay with the way it turned out? Chapter 2, verse 1. And again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. You see, as Satan thought he could get through to Job and cause him to fail with conflicts, with trials, Job maintained his integrity. He maintained his faith in God through these times of trial. My message today, though, I'd like to pull from Job chapter 19. You can turn over to that as we get a glimpse into the life of what Job was experiencing. We know the account. Job is sitting there with his three friends. And they're having a hash session, if we can call it that. They're discussing why this happened. Why did this happen to him? They all had their reasons. They all had their ideas of why it happened. But remember, we said you can't see into the spirit world, and they couldn't get the glimpse of that. They were looking at it from man's eyes. Why did this happen? But Job held on and to his faith in God through this time. And I'd like to start reading in Job chapter 19. Start reading at verse 6. As Job's talking to his friends, he's complaining about his friends' cruelty and how they thought they had the answers for his situations. And I'm going to start breaking in at verse 6. Know now that God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net. Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I am not heard. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment. He hath fenced up my ways that I cannot pass, and he hath set darkness in my path. He has stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from mine head. He hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone. And mine hope hath he removed like a tree. He has also kindled his wrath against me, and he counted me unto him as one of his enemies. His troops came together and raised up their way against me and encamped round about my tabernacle. He hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are very estranged from me. My kinfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house, and my maids count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreat for the children's sake of mine own body. Yea, young children despise me. I arose, and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhor me. They whom I love are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Have pity upon me, have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do ye persecute me as God, and are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. We'll stop, cease reading there. As we think of Job and his faith through these trials, everybody had turned against him. I'd like to pull our thoughts to verse 25, how Job maintained his faith in the midst of these trials. Everybody was against him. And he asked that if only these words were written in a book, only if they're engraved in a rock with an iron pen. What were the words? For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. I'd like to take this phrase, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and try to get us some groundwork for maintaining faith in the midst of trials. I'm going to break this up into and take it in parts. I'd like the first one I'd like to look at is Redeemer, the word Redeemer in there. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. If you go back to the Hebrew, it has three different meanings for that word Redeemer. And I'd like to think of this as a friend. He had a friend. When things were going wrong, he had a friend when he was in trouble. He had this Redeemer. The three Hebrew words come back as his kinsman. It was somebody close to him. It was somebody near to him in his time of trial. There's times where he felt in that in this passage that God was far from him, but I think in his heart he knew that God was still close to him. He felt that, I believe. As we think of being friends, a true friend stays close through the thick and the thin. Through times of trial, times of adversity, when things are not going, always the way we know it, or feel it should go, true friends stay close. This kinsman, this Redeemer, was that close to Job, I do believe. The second Hebrew word comes back as his deliverer. His deliverer. Vindicator would be another word that was there. And that means to clear of blame or suspicion. It was somebody that cleared his faults, cleared his life, made him free. What does this deliver, his deliverer, what all does this deliverer clear us of? A deliverer will clear from false charges. They set you free from that. And deliver you from any false statements that's made against us. In this case, it delivered Job from the accusations of Satan. Same is true for our deliverer today, our Redeemer as well. And the third one, third Hebrew word, is his Redeemer. Comes back as this word Redeemer, where our English word comes from. Redeems him from bondage. It pays the price for our sin. Job's Redeemer. His Redeemer that was close to him paid the price for his sin. Everything was clear. It was set free. Can we grasp how much our Redeemer does for us? Jesus has paid the price for us. He has set us free. He is our Redeemer, our Deliverer. The second word I'd like to pull out of this, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I'd like to look at the personal aspect of it. Job said, my Redeemer. My Redeemer. What did Job have at this point in time in life? He had nothing. Everything was taken from him. But he still speaks of my Redeemer. He still had something he was grasping a hold of. What all did this mean for Job? Means he reached out and accepted Christ's provisions for him. He felt that he was doing all he could in his hand that was in his power. He was letting his life with God. I've done everything that is possible for me to do, to be clear with God. Now I'm in his hands. I believe in his past experience, he's felt God's power in his life. to help him through this time of conflict, through this time of trial. This my Redeemer also speaks that I'm going to cling to him. We're close friends together. He's going to cling to him. He may lose all else. But Job's saying, my Redeemer, I still have something that I'm not going to let go. I'm going to grasp a hold of it. I'm going to cling to him forever. He is my only hope in this life. And if I should die, he's my only hope there. It's my Redeemer. The faith of Job in times of trial. Third phrase I'd like to pull out of this verse, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. I'd like to look at the word liveth. Liveth. In this world, we live in a dying world. There's everything. Our vehicles rust out and wear out. Our bodies wear out. After a certain age, everything's just dying. Trees grow for a while and then they die. There's everything about us. We live in a dying world. Job was no different. He lived in a world where people died, got old and died, where things about him perished. Everything he owned was taken from him. In this dying world. But he said, my Redeemer liveth. It's an everlasting living. He is there all the time. He's an everlasting Father that's going to see him to the end. He's never going to be subject to this dying that we have in the world. As he thinks of this Redeemer liveth, when something's living, it's usually doing something. And I think Job is saying here also in this living Redeemer that it's one that's interceding for him. There's one that's in heaven pleading for him. He's doing something for him. He's defending him. In this liveth, I believe, he also grasped a hold of the power of God. And we too must do that in times of trial. We must reach out to the power of God and let it take a hold in our life. Our Redeemer lives today. Can you grasp that as Job has? The living Redeemer among a dying world. As we think of this phrase, the next one I'd like to pull out is the words, for I know. For I know. I like to think of the certainty of a Redeemer. Job was certain. The words, I know. If somebody tells you, I know something, you listen, don't you? Because, yeah, they know. They're going to tell us something. The certainty of what we're listening for. And I believe it's the same when Job said this, I know. He had certainty. Everything about him was uncertain at that point in time. Everything was gone, destroyed. It was uncertain times in Job's life. But he said, I know. I know. This is something solid. This is something I can tell for a fact. I don't know what else it is, but I know that my Redeemer liveth. He had no doubt in this matter. But this is one thing that is certain. But what made him certain? What made Job so certain? There was trials in his life. He was going through difficult times. Everybody was against him. What gave him this certainty? It's where faith comes in. Faith. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. We all know this passage as well by heart. But what is faith? What is faith? Is it something you can see? No. Physically speaking, you can't say, well, I see faith. But we can see it lived out in lives about us. And in Job's life, we can see it lived out. What is faith? Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's the actions that come forth from your life that say, I can see in your life that this is what you believe. This is where your faith is. You're grounded in it from what your life is living out. And that is this faith that made Job so certain in this time. It brought sure evidence to his life. I know it can see me through this time of trial. See, if he looked at his trials, he could have lots of doubts about life. What am I supposed to do now? Where should I go from here? What did I do wrong in my life? And there's points and times where God brings things into our life to change our direction and to turn us around. But if there is nothing standing between you and your faith in God, I believe we can have this confidence that Job had. We don't know what's happening about, but I know that things are right with God. I know that my faith is going to see me through. And that God is my Redeemer. He saved me. No matter what comes in this life. We can bring in fear. At this point in thought and in the message, Satan likes to plant fear in our life. Fear of failure. Fear of the unknown. Fear that there's another power that might grasp a hold of us. But stay true to God. We don't need to fall to that fear. Live a life that says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I'm living life a life that is close to God. Do you have this in your life? Do you have this great knowledge in your life? Do I have it in mine? How can we know? How can we build this faith so that when we have trials, we can come through victorious? We can ask ourselves, how is my faith? Just like to look at a few points yet. And how we can know that your Redeemer liveth. How can we know that when trials come, I'm going to have what it takes to see me through? And the first one I have, we can know when we walk with God from day to day. I'm not talking about a Sunday morning experience. I'm not talking about one time a week. I'm talking about a day-to-day experience. A close fellowship with God. How does that happen? How is, a question we should ask ourselves, how is my prayer life? How is my Bible reading and prayer? When you want to know someone, we talk and communicate with them. There's a flowing back and forth. For young people experience, that's when you get to the dating part in life. You start that relationship and you start communicating on the weekend. You know, there's a little relationship back and forth. So you can get to know them. Christ wants a relationship with us as well. And we talk and communicate with Him by prayer, by reading His Word, digging in it, studying it. It's God's Word. It's speaking to us. It's the truth. Too often we get so busy and we fail to read and to study and to take time to pray and grow in faith. Because we're so busy. I believe it's one of the aspects that we can know that we have this faith that's going to see us through these times of trial by what we live out on a day-to-day life. But probably the foundational. Have you had His cleansing power in your life? The start that we've made in our Christian walk. Have we maintained a clear relationship with God? Have we left our lives be clean from day to day? Have we let God be our Redeemer? Have we let Him redeem us, cleanse our sins, so that we can live lives that are pure? How is your faith? I'd like to leave that with us. How is your faith? Do you believe in the promises of the Bible? Do you let your faith grow? 1 Peter 4:16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf, on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? If the trials start with us, as God's people, are you going to have the faith? Is your faith built in God to the extent that it'll see you through the times of trial? I trust that's your goal in life, is to have that happen, to be victorious. When trials come, we don't know what the future holds. The future looks so uncertain. It did in Job's case as well. He didn't know what the end was. Looking at him as he scraped himself there, he probably said his life might be gone tomorrow. We don't know. A sick man. But through it all, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Is that going to be your testimony when trials come?